I say that I bring you greetings from Uganda, your fellow brothers and sisters, and my wife Sarah and the children. They convey their greetings, and we have just done with a big wedding of our last daughter, Angela, which actually brought honor to God and to our family. So it was really a very wonderful time, and I remember. I have to explain a little bit about this. When someone is getting married, there are two big events. The first one, that's when she introduces her husband to the parents, to the family. That's when all friends and relatives and extended families will come together to see their husband to be. And this time we had more than 450 people. I came and we spent the whole day together, and we had tents even. We used our neighborhood yard to put the tents there, and it was really, really wonderful. And we had a big meal together. And so it was a wonderful time. And a month after that, that's when we had the real wedding in the church. And we really we are so thankful for what God is doing. And that is our fourth daughter getting married in our home. And we are already grandpa. We have now five grandchildren. So we really thank God for that. Another thing, I want to thank God for the previous mission trip that Pastor Jim and group made to our country, which actually impacted a lot of people, and we are so much blessed with the messages and in conferences, different conferences, men and married couples and pastors and people ministered in different churches. And so I think, sorry to say, this time was the best. To us in Uganda, you have been making trips, but this previous trip, I think, was the best of all the trips that you really made, and we are so much blessed, and we have all your messages put on CDs, and we are taking them everywhere. I really thank God for Brother Clay, because he put almost 200 messages on one device, and when I took it back home, some other brothers, they edited them and put them on CDs, and they are going everywhere around the country and outside the country, in Sudan and Kenya, and in 2 months from now, Pastor Vincent Kashaija is taking many of them to Malawi. So I'm really thankful the way God is doing it. You preached it. Clay edited it. He gave it to us, and we are spreading it all over the country and everywhere. So thank you so much, Pastor, for being so bold and preach that uncompromised message, which actually blesses us so much. And as I said, that someone one time was preaching, and he said that the fountain always blesses those who are far, the fountain when it starts to flow. We are so much blessed, and when people, they hear Pastor Jim in Uganda speak, and even Edwin Lewis Cole. My first time to come here, I thought that Eddie Cole is known everywhere in this country and outside the country. But when I came here, even some people in Fort Worth, they didn't know him. The same with Pastor Jim. Pastor Jim, everybody in Uganda thinks that he's known everywhere. The fountain always blesses those who are far. So we are very, very thankful. And may the Almighty God bless you. And remember always that the seeds that you guys planted in our country are growing and bear fruits 30, 60, and 100 folds. I thank God for individuals like Brother Obo. Thank you for coming to Uganda, Brother Cooper, and many others who came and Brother Clay is there, and Esther, and Pastor David Haverson, and many others. Thank you for taking your time to come to Uganda. It is another thing, someone to leave this beautiful country with many conveniences and come to Africa. I tell you what that has done to us. We go to islands and many other interior areas in our country and neighborhood countries because when we think of coming to Uganda, how much more can we go to those places in our country where with the gospel, where many people don't want to go. But thank you for setting that example to us. And we take it a sacrifice, someone to come and stay for a week or 10 days as usual. Today when Pastor Jim told me that I would speak, I had a message, and I was still working on this message, but I said, okay, I'll just give it as it is, though I have not arranged it well. And I want to talk about great memories and tough decisions. You know, in this life, we have both. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I'm so thankful, Lord, for this time you have brought us in this place, Lord, and thank you for each and every individual. Lord, we ask you to bless us and to bless our hearts with thy word and help us, Holy Spirit, to understand exactly what you want us to know and touch us individually. Touch us, touch our minds and our spirits and our body and set us free. In Jesus' name. Amen. They are good moments in life, times in life, and we have to make tough decisions to stand both. Having a wedding is a great moment. Like the wedding we have just had in Uganda, and that was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful time. But staying married is a decision we have to make. Getting a baby is a very good moment of really seeing this life, the baby coming to life, I mean, in this world. And just like we recently adopted a young kid by the name of Jonathan. He's now almost 4 years, and really very, very, very exciting to see how he's really changing, growing up. Brings joy and excitement. But growing that baby the way it should go, and it's a real decision. I mean, it's someone must make a hard decision leaning on God, because it is not something easy. It's a great moment to be elected to any leadership capacity, but leading people, it takes decision leaning on God to lead people. I think sometime when God called some people in the Bible, like Moses, he said, no, I don't want that. Not because it was not a good position, but leading people is not something easy. And I remember a young man, Jeremiah, he cried and he said, I'm too young, Lord. Don't bring that to me. I believe it takes decision, leaning on God, to make things work. If you don't mind, we can read in Daniel chapter 1, beginning from verse 8. Daniel chapter 1, beginning from verse 8. I'm not yet good in English, but I think, and I pray that you bear with me if I don't pronounce something well. But I'm still working out. I'm nourishing my English. One time I believe I'll speak the way you want. Verse 8 says, from Daniel chapter 1, verse 8 says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested the prince of eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God has brought Daniel into favor and attained love with the prince of eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed you meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Merizah, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Ananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us purse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter and approved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melchizedek took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and he gave them pass. As for these 4 children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuch brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them. And among them was found none like Daniel, Ananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. In the scriptures that we have just read, this has been on my heart for years, and this is the same message we teach our champions, more especially those who are in high school, 8th grade to college, because we have in each level we have kids, because this year we have those who are going to go to graduate, and this year we have those who already graduated, and one of them is called John, my son. He was the son of my brother who died of AIDS long ago. And God helped us to grow him up and send him to school. He graduated. And his brother also, Eddie, also graduated from college. And we have Sandra. Sandra, we got her when she was 6 months. But now she's now graduating this coming year. And we have many others in high school and those who have just started college. But this is the message that we always bring to them, and they love it, and has changed their lives, and they are content for their faith to walk with the Lord. In the scriptures we have just read, it talks about Daniel, who purposed in his heart. This is one of the young men that was brought from exile, and they were I don't know whether this is the right word, they were castrated. And you may think that this situation may cause these young men to be down in their spirit and to feel sorry and live a miserable life. But I thank God, the Bible says that Daniel and his fellows, they purposed in their hearts, despite the all other disappointments, living far from their homes and brought to exile and as slaves, and they purposed in their hearts not to defile themselves. God. They did purpose in their heart. And they said, we shall not eat that food. You know, remember that food was usually dedicated and sacrificed to the spirits of other gods and things of that sort. They said, we shall never defile ourselves. Now, when we have kids in school, or when we go to school to learn, actually we activate our mind. I mean, our minds are activated, and it's good to have education. But having education without touching the heart sometimes is causing more chaos in the country. We have realized that, and we have proved that. Not only in Uganda. I was talking to Pastor Jim, and I said, those guys who actually fly those aircrafts and hit the Twin Tower, they were not illiterate. I mean, they were smart. They had education. But when you touch here and you don't touch here, it's always a big problem. And I think most of the problems we have in the world doesn't come from illiterate people. It comes from those who are educated. And they will always say that your education, your skill, your talent can take you far away where your character will never sustain you, or always bring you down. But apart from the education Daniel had to take, because being coming from another country, they had to learn the language. They have to learn the culture. They have to be in school. They have to be in class to learn. But on top of that, Daniel himself knew that would never make a difference. We need to be purposed in our spirit, never to defile ourselves. We have to walk with God. We have to walk the talk. We shall never put down, and we never, because we shall be serving the living God. I believe God is looking for people like that in all generations, in all levels of life. God is looking for somebody, or looking for a person that is purposed in his heart, which I believe that getting saved is a very exciting time. Give you an example. When I got saved, I was very excited. I was full of joy. And I said, I delayed. I mean, this has taken a long time. This is all I needed. And I thought everybody is going to be happy. And when I told my mom and I told everybody, that's when I realized that, oh my goodness, I'm in the midst of persecution right now. But I had to purpose in my spirit never to change my mind, because I realized that is what my heart was looking for. And I remember I told you about this, that my family disowned me and my clan, and they said, you are no longer part of us. If you don't participate in this demonic ceremony and sermons and giving sacrifices and doing this and that, you are no longer part of us. I said, well, it's okay, but I'm not going to be part of it. I contain my faith never to defile myself in that manner. But all the same, I suffered that pain of rejection took like 3 years without talking to my mom, to my father, to my brothers and my sister. And I loved my mom more than anybody else because my father died when I was 8. But my mom was always there for us until recently when she died, I was 54 years. So she was always there for us in all different situations that came our way. And that I developed so much love towards my mom. But for 3 constant years, I was not able to see them. But God gave me some encouragement. He gave me some scriptures, which actually I craved on, and I saw things coming to pass. He said, I will give you many fathers and brothers and sisters, and I will give you everything. And I didn't know exactly what it meant, but I looked everywhere in churches, especially where I was going in churches. Any elderly man and woman in the church, I considered them as my mothers and my fathers. And it never stopped. Everywhere I went, I found brothers, sisters, and fathers and mothers, more especially when I came in this church. And I told Pastor Jim that you are my father. Even if you don't believe it, I don't like it. The message, the word that you share, is more than just being a father, but it's being a preacher, but a father. And I have so many brothers now here and sisters, as you know, Brother Cooper. You can't deny that. And Clay and many others, and Dallas Church, and Lynn, and all those people who came to Uganda. I don't know what you did. I mean, it's not just because you came for the mission trip, but I saw you as my brothers and my sisters, and whom God sent to join the task and fight in the Lord. But I believe God is looking for men and women that are going to take the stand. And I say, I will not defile. Even though many others, they are doing this, I will never do that because I'm a godly person. I belong to God. Think of somebody like Joseph in the Bible. Joseph was also a young man like my champions, and he was taken also to slavery and sold out by his brothers, and he went there. But he was when you read the scriptures and his story, he's one of those young men content for his faith, and he's purposed in his spirit that he will never defy himself. You know what the trials and tests hard situations he went through. And Bible says that God blessed everything that he touched his hands. And all of a sudden, he was the leader in the home of this rich noble man, Potiphar. But time came also, he ended up in jail. I think you understand the story, the process. But the Bible says that even in jail, this young man, he was content for his faith, and he purposed in his spirit, come what may, whether the situations or circumstances change, but I will never change this. God is my creator, and I will serve him. And the Bible says that there, right there in prison, God was with this young man. Don't you think it's better to be in the forest with God than being in paradise without God? I think so. I've proved this. Some people, they thought that when I come to America, I'll never go back, like many others did. But I'll tell you what, wherever you go and wherever you are, so long as you are contained for your faith and purposed in your spirit, you are going to see God. And that is going to be your paradise. God can make the forest a paradise. I remember one man was preaching and mentioned something profound. And he said that, take me anywhere in the forest or on the mountain or anywhere you want with my Bible. Within some few years, that forest is going to become my paradise. God is going to change it to paradise. Brothers, we are so much blessed to know God. But knowing God and walking with God, those are two different things. There are more good moments in life where most people want to walk with God. But when things change, I tell you, brothers and sisters, that's where we really, really need God. The Bible says that when the enemy comes up with the flood and comes up with storms, the Spirit of the Lord raises up the standard. We need God in tough times, but we have to make tough decisions. Come what may, we shall serve the living God. We shall walk with God. I tell you what, when I see what God is doing now, after being persecuted, after being disowned, after going through those difficult situations and where you feel like, God, was this a mistake? Why is this happening to me? And where you ask so many questions, and after going through that, I have proved that God is God. I was talking to Pastor Jim about the place where I was born. That's the very place where they told me to leave them, and you are no longer part of me. Long story short, my mom died when I was 54. I'm 58 now. And when she died, I cried in my spirit because she died shortly before the doctor arrived home. She passed away. And I said, Lord, how many other people are going to die like this in this place, in this area? And in deep prayer, and crying in my spirit, praying for the village, God, he gave me a dream. And this dream was about the candle, the light on the candle. And the voice said, one candle, the light on one candle, that small light on the candle can deliver or can get rid of all the darkness which has been there for years and years and years. And I realized later that this is a church. If we have a church in this area, and we have the clinic, and we have the school, I think this community will change forever. I prayed, and I never knew how God was going to do it. But I tell you, apart from many people who have already accepted Christ, my biological brothers and sisters, and extended families, I can count more than 100 people who have already accepted Christ. But apart from that, now we have the church built in the area where I was born, and the school of like 200 kids now coming to that school. Because we realized that if you want to touch the future, you touch the children. That's why I believe Satan wanted to kill Moses, wanted to kill Jesus when he was still young. The devil always want to get the children, but I believe even God want children. Let the children come to me, for such as those, the kingdom of God is theirs. So now we have, and those children, many of their parents and guardians, they go to a religious church somewhere, but they send their kids to our church. And many others, they have really accepted, others have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. What do I mean? What I mean with this, the place where I was disowned and I was told never to go back, the chief of those, of our clan is called an Antelope clan, the second largest among the 52 clans we have in one tribe. He was my brother. And he paid my school fees in grade 6 and grade 7 when I was still young. He's one of among many who stood never to allow any church or any ministry to come in that area for years and years and years. But this is the guy. I went to him. God gave me some wisdom to go to him and just to appreciate him. I bought some gifts and I went to him to appreciate, to send me to school some years back in grade 6 and grade 7. And he stood on his feet and he said, "Joel, from today, let everybody serve and worship God his own way." In other words, it was an open door now for us to start preaching the gospel in that area. That was a big miracle. What God did was actually a miracle. I don't think you can even understand how big is this miracle. It was a big miracle, and I'm very excited to see the number of people getting saved. I mean, bringing their witchcraft and set them on fire and dedicate their hearts to God. And not only that, even the champion, we have now 620, and we are getting these kids from different parts of the country and with the purpose of bringing down the wall of tribalism. And you see how God is changing them. You can tell that the future of Uganda is so bright. Because we see that God is using and is going to use these kids to change the history of this country. So, God is looking for one man to change the family. God is looking for one man or woman to change the clan. I don't know whether you guys, you know how powerful are the clans to penetrate. But God is just looking for someone who is going to say, "Here I am, Lord." And is going to do an incredible work. Is all God doing everything, but is just looking for someone who is content for his faith and purposed in his spirit. When I look in the Bible, I see many stories of young men. Moses was a young man, and David was a young man, and Solomon was a young man, and many others in the Bible. When you read Hebrews 11, the heroes of faith, most of them were young men. And when they knew God and walked with God and God anointed them, God changed the history of their generations. And I believe the same God we are serving in our time is looking for someone who is not going to compromise the gospel. Father, brother, Pastor Jim, thank you for bringing uncompromised gospel in our country. Because if God is going to change, he's going to change the situation according to his word, according to the principles of the kingdom, according to those who are standing and say, yes, God. Those who are going to listen and obey. Those who are going to say no. I mean, the greatest word a believer can say is no. No to the devil and yes to God. That is only God is looking for. Never to submit to the devil. Bible says that submit to God and resist the devil. To say to the devil no and yes to God. The rest of the things God is going to deal with it. God is an awesome God and is doing an incredible work. Thank you for standing with us and thank you for coming and joining the task. God is changing the history of our country. And I believe that Uganda is a country to visit if you want to come. And I believe that Uganda is shouting for joy because Jesus has become the rivers of life in our country. I want to wind up with one guy in Genesis chapter 12, Abraham. When you read from verse 1, you are going to see God calling Abraham. And he called him to come out of his family, to come out of his tribe, and to come out of his country. And he said, I will take you somewhere, and I will bless you, and it will be a blessing to many others. Thank God that Abraham obeyed and he went where he never knew before. And God did accordingly. I was telling the brothers in Dallas that when you come to Africa and you don't think about these three things, I mean the gospel you preach may not be as effective as it should be. Think about the systems we have. Like in my home, I was the one to possess the family spirit after the death of my aunt. But good enough, Jesus intervened before the death of my aunt. But I was already given the name and I was prepared. I mean, they were preparing me to inherit that. I mean, there are things done by individuals, but they are systems of the family, and they are systems of the clan or tribe in Africa, and they are the systems of the nation. For example, now in Africa, I mean in Uganda generally, we are fighting against corruption. Corruption is killing our country. But we join hands and we say it is going to change and to be changed by Christians to say no to corruption. There are things done by different tribes. There are times when we used to come together and worship the spirits of the clans and sometimes this giving sacrifices to the family spirits and things of that sort. So when I see God calling Abraham from his family and from his tribe and from his nation to go away, I see that today that God is calling each one of us to get out of the systems of the world. We are in the world, but we are not of this world. If there are things done by people, our friends, our relatives, our family members, which are ungodly, we have to come out of that and just serve the living God. I remember Joshua, one time he made a very profound statement, and he said, if you guys, you are going to serve the gods of this world, me and my family, we are going to serve the living God. And in my home, that is one of our major scripture. And another scripture is in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, which says that God can do beyond and above of what we think and pray. Those two scriptures, even Jonathan, he knows that scripture. those are the scripture we always cite. If other people, they are serving other gods and worship the spirits and do things way, go ungodly way, my and my house we shall serve the living God. Which means that from now here onwards, no work of the devil from here to my next generations, my children and my grandchildren, we are content for our faith to serve the living God. Brothers and sisters, God is looking for someone who is going to purpose in his heart, come with me. Some people were thrown in finances of fire. Others were thrown in the den of the lions. Some others were crucified. Others were chopped off their heads. When you read Hebrews chapter 11, you are going to see people that were content for their faith and purposed in their spirit, never to change or to compromise the ways of God and the gospel. Those are the people that turned around the circumstances. Those are the people God used to bring people from captivity, from change circumstances, and put down the works of the enemy, and lift up the banner of salvation. Those are the people God has been looking ever since up to now. We are the people. You are the person. I'm the person. It's not too late. We are on the right track. We are on the line already. In soccer, I'm a very good soccer player. I'm just kidding. When they put the ball in the center and you are just waiting for the whistle of the referee, you are content for your faith. We are winning. But I tell you, brothers, we are on the winning side. Jesus did it all on the cross. And when he said it is finished, it was completely finished. We are on the winning side, already done work. It's just to contend for our faith and the purpose in our spirit to just walk with him and walk the talk. And the rest, God is able to do it, to change the, to do the impossibilities. Because what is impossible to men is impossible to God. God is still doing miracles. God is still doing an incredible work. God is still drawing many to himself. But he's looking for one person. He's looking for somebody. I was speaking to our youth recently, and I quoted that scripture in Colossians, which says that everything you do, don't do it as serving people, but do it as serving God. God always manifests himself in our day-to-day work. It's always good to wake up in the morning and speak to your mind. Going to do it as serving people. We are not slaves. We are not serving people, but we are serving the living God. Every step, every day, step by step. That's when God manifests himself and he proves himself. God can promote and he can bring demotion as well. We can see in the life of Joseph, we can see that in the life of Daniel, the one we have just read in the scripture. We can see David, the man of God's heart. God can lift up others and bring down others, but he's looking for somebody who is purposed in his heart so that he may do an incredible work. everywhere we are. Thank you so much. I came with a very small, I think it is 7 minutes. If you can, you can really be patient with that.